Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It's good, the bad, the dumb on a Monday. Week 10 almost in the books, but we got a lot to get to coming up. So let's get the good of the day.
The good was this. I mean, you know, if we start just basic good, I mean, I have a better good than this, but basic good was just this past weekend in sports.
Yeah, it was great.
My God, there was just, I mean, it's almost a bad in a way because there was just too much.
There was so much to absorb. I mean, it really was.
I mean,
it
I started off, you know, Saturday morning, my middle son had a soccer game. You know, which I coach. First place, by the way.
Nice. Very good.
Ended up finishing the season top of the table, as they would say over the seas.
Well done.
But then I came home, and I was like, oh, I'm going to throw on some college football. I'm watching Indiana just beat the poo out of, I can't remember who they were playing, Michigan State, I believe.
Yep.
And then I was like, yeah, you know what? This is boring. I'm going to watch Masters. And then I got sucked into Masters watching that for a while. I mean, it was just, it's ridiculous what was going on this past weekend.
It really was. And with all the talk about cancellations of games and college football especially, they're like, oh, yeah. And then my favorite Saturday night was the anti-Harbaugh tweets that were coming when Michigan was getting just killed by Wisconsin.
God. Yeah, a team that, you know, hadn't really played at all, didn't practice much the past month, right?
Right, exactly.
Game out and did that. Harbaugh's on a short list of a lot of NFL coaching jobs, I believe.
You know, I never tell people, look, real quick, every college football fan feels like they have to get one of their guys, right? A guy that gets us, right? Jim Harbaugh was the right coach. Jim Harbaugh would have been the right coach at that time for any program. He had led San Francisco to a Super Bowl. He had had success at Stanford. Right? Yep. He was the right guy. So this wasn't a Hail Mary of a hire, right? A hire to be like, well, at least he's a Michigan guy. We don't know what we're getting.
Right.
You should have gotten more out of him. You should have beaten Ohio State once or twice in his tenure.
At least.
But this is getting to be a point now where you've got to figure out what you're going to do because this isn't working. It's not working.
So, but the actual good of the day.
Yes.
Marshall University.
Marshall University is right, yes.
50 years. It was 50 years, what, on Saturday?
Saturday was the 50th anniversary.
50th anniversary of the deadliest American sports plane crash in American sports history. Marshall University posthumously conferred degrees on all of the members of that football team.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And it was a private ceremony. Only victims of the family were allowed in. And, you know, one by one, a representative from that family, whether it was a mother, an uncle, brother, whatever, came up and accepted a degree on their son's or on the football player's behalf.
Yeah. There were 75 people on that plane. 36 were football players. There were 9 coaches. There were 5 crew members. And there were 25 fans. They were on the chartered flight from Greenville, North Carolina, coming off a loss to East Carolina that crashed outside Huntington, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have seen the movie with Matthew McConaughey where he played Jack Lingle, who took over that program and had to get freshmen to play, true freshmen to play football.
Which wasn't allowed.
Yeah, which was not allowed. And I think the moral of that story, of that movie, was we may be awful, but in order to get good, we have to play. Like, we can't just not play because we're no good. We have to continue to play. One day we'll be good. And they were. They were good with Randy Moss worked there. Byron Leftwich played there. They won. Chad Pennington played there. They won championships in their conference and the division. They're 16th now, 50 years later, undefeated at 7-0.
You know, top 25, and it's amazing to think that, you know, a football program can be rebuilt. Because at that time, they were what, top 10? Top 5?
Oh, when they crashed?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they were a good team.
I want to say they were a good team.
Yeah.
But good on them to
absolutely.
You know, 50th anniversary just to have that sort of celebration. That was fantastic.
It is I know all plane crashes and whatnot are tragic, but I mean, can you imagine like just losing an entire football team, like what it does to a community? Like, when you know how important that, how much of a tie that is to some these small college towns in America. I know we had the Oklahoma State basketball crash was, I think, 20 years ago.
Right.
Around that. They lost one plane out of a few chartered planes, small planes that were going, and they lost a few members. But we haven't lost an entire football team. Like we never, you know, the like University of whatever, never, we never lost all of them. I can only imagine how devastating that must have been.
Right. I mean, well, to that we saw it in that movie too. I mean, it's that yeah. town wasn't, certain people in that town weren't ready to move on.
Oh, I know.
Ready to move forward.
Exactly.
What was
exactly.
Oh, what's that actor's name? Was in Deadwood.
Oh, Ian McShane.
Yeah, Ian McShane.
Yeah,
I mean, he was great.
His character was great. Yeah,
he was great.
Great character.
You know, because you just really felt for him. Like, yeah, you shouldn't have football.
Yeah, he didn't want it because his boy played there.
Yeah.
So, all right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day goes to you, to me, to every sports pundit out there.
Yeah?
Because we were all worried that Bryson DeChambeau was going to disrespect Augusta.
I know. Boy, did that not even come close to happening.
I mean, ESPN hyped it up. He was one of the main people that they followed around his group on the first day. I mean, we saw every single shot. And then come Saturday and Sunday, I forgot. I didn't even know if he was in the tournament.
Oh, he was nothing. He didn't. He was nothing. He could not score.
Yeah.
He could not score. He told everybody that golf course was a par 67 for him. It was actually a par 72 for him because he could not score.
Couldn't do it.
He was atrocious. He finished at two under. He was 18 shots off the lead.
How worried were we when we kept sitting there?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to pitch and putt. He's going to drive par fours.
Yep.
He's going to put himself in a position where he's going to get to a par five, and he's hitting, what, a 9-iron to get on the green.
Yeah.
And for his second shot.
Didn't seem to matter.
And Augusta wins.
And here's the thing. Afterwards, or at least I think Saturday's round, or whenever he spoke, he talked about being sick, like he's dizzy. Look, if you're an athlete and you don't live up to the hype and don't go to the sick card, even if you are sick, even if it's 100% legit, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I would be dizzy too.
Me too. If I was missing every putt within 10 feet.
Yeah, my tummy hurts.
Oh, just don't do it. It's bad, bad, bad advice. It just does, no matter how convincing it is. Tiger actually did this a few times. It just, there's no good look to it. You can, you know, it's just better if you say, you know what? This week got me. I did not play well at all. And let your inner circle know you weren't feeling good. Just tell your wife or your girlfriend or your agent or your PR people. But when you stand there after another embarrassing round where you didn't take advantage of your length and you say, well, I've been feeling dizzy and sick. I don't have COVID, but I'm just not feeling I have a tummy ache.
He took the test anyways, just to be sure. He was experiencing no respiratory illness whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no,
he played alongside Bernard Langer.
Yes.
By the way, did you see that statistic on Twitter that was making the rounds about Bernard Langer? His first British Open. So Bernard Langer is 63.
Yes.
His first major that he played in was the 1976 British Open. In that field, I don't think he played, but in that field was Gene Sarazen, who was born in 1902. At this year's Masters, he played in a tournament that had a kid who was born in 2002. So in his career, he has now played against opponents that have been separated by a century. He is amazing.
And he was playing well.
He was great. He finished two under, two or three under, right?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of, I mean, what was it? Going into second day or no, it was on Saturday. He was among the leaders.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, top 10, I think.
That's awesome.
At some point, he was just nailing them all. I was like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, that's what happens in Augusta. Like, Phil Mickelson should be competitive there in his late 50s. Like, he's still going to hit the ball a good ways. He still can get around that golf course. He's still going to be around there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that the one major that everyone probably knows the best is Augusta because it's held at the same course.
Every year?
All the other ones, it changes up year after year after year. And I mean, even though they're used to playing all these courses, Augusta, they know. Like, it's going to be the same layout no matter what. So I'll remember from last year to next year. Hopefully Bryson DeChambeau remembers, I got to bring a better putter.
And before we get to the dumb, you're right. Like, they play at Kiowa. Like, they play at Harbortown every year. But nobody goes to Harbortown to practice.
Right.
Like, they just show up and they go, it's Harbortown. I've been playing here for years. It's same course every year on the tour. Because it's a major, they go to Augusta all the time. So whenever they can free up some time, they go to Augusta to play it when it's open to practice for the Masters. So if you're Phil and you know you're going to get invited every year and you have an open date, open invitation to come anytime to practice for the Masters, he's played there hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yes.
You know?
Anytime he's probably making a trip anywhere towards the south, he's like, well, let's just stop off at Augusta real
Exactly.
quick.
All the time. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is not so much a dumb today as it's more of a just unfair.
Yes.
Because the Mannings keep producing star quarterbacks.
Okay.
Arch Manning.
I heard, yeah.
The
Arch
son
Manning.
Of Cooper, the nephew of Peyton and Eli. You might have heard of those guys. Was 9 of 11 in passing Friday night for 169 yards and 5 touchdowns in the first quarter.
Oh, God.
And
oh,
then,
God.
And then was benched.
Is he a sophomore?
Yes.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
It just, I mean, 169 yards and 5 touchdowns in the first quarter. That's, I understand it's high school and you're not really playing against top teams, but come on.
That's nuts. By the way, if your last name's Manning, don't you have to be really good at this? Can you imagine if he wasn't good at it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he was, like, okay at playing quarterback?
Well, there's probably a Manning out there, right? That's not okay? That's part of that lineage that maybe we don't talk about?
Part of the family that maybe we don't talk about?
We don't talk about him?
Maybe that might be true. But
oh, no, you know what? That's why we got to back it up a little bit. He's a freshman.
Is a freshman?
Yeah.
I gave him an extra year of high school?
You gave him an extra year of high school. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah, I agreed with you, just checking the stats here, and like one person said, Manning didn't look like an inexperienced freshman being advanced for this age.
Wow.
He's not overwhelmed by the speed of the game.
How great is that?
So he, as a freshman, has already received offers from LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, North Carolina, and Duke.
Yeah, if you're Ole Miss, you've given Cooper Manning's kid a...
He already
offer
has a
the day,
right?
Like Cooper Manning was supposed to go there, and then he had the injury, the back problem that took him out of football. So if you're Ole Miss, you give his boy a ride like as soon as he's out of the womb. You're like, you're gonna be training him right in the Manning way.
I mean, do you think Ole Miss is sitting there like, you know what? Let's just get through these couple of years. You know,
it's
very likely he's going to keep their tradition. Or are you like, if you're Tennessee, like, hey, we got one once. Why can't we grab another one?
That's true.
I don't think the other schools really have a chance. I'm sorry.
who do you try to make happy with that? Uncle Peyton or Uncle Eli or Dad or Grandpa?
Right.
Like who do you make thrilled to death?
Or do you go off on your own college? Like, oh, I'm gonna take my Texas or my talents to Texas. Is that going to be sacrilegious? You'd be like, well, you're not coming to Thanksgiving.
South Carolina could use a quarterback in 4 years.
You know, does he go to LSU? Because, you know,
are
loved in, New Orleans and Louisiana.
Love that. All right, that is the good, the bad, and the dumb. We got Josh Kendall joining us from the Athletic Tuck Golf, the Masters. It's coming up as hour two rolls along on the Sports Map Radio Network.